Good morning, everybody. Welcome in. For those of you who may not know me, I am Mark. My wife was up here doing the introductions just a second ago. You can call me Marky if you want to, I guess. She mentioned. And I am the youth pastor with New Day and with Bethany Church. So that's my position in connection to New Day here. And I just really quickly want to throw out an announcement because it's coming up to the end of the year. For youth group, if you have any students who are going into sixth grade this fall, so fifth grade now into sixth grade, they are welcome to start joining us starting June 15th. We're doing one meeting per week in the summer. So the first one is June 15th. If you have any questions, feel free to get in contact with Rachel or myself. We'd love to have new students come in and be introduced to the group because we're going to have a lot of fun this summer. And we also are going to be doing hangouts with kids too. So if you're fifth grader going to sixth grade, we can hang out with you sometime this summer too. So let me know. We'd love to get to know you. But yes, I do run youth group. And I want to kind of go over maybe a little bit of what we've been talking about in youth group with all of you, because I mean, I feel like a lot of people are pretty disconnected. Unless you're actually attending youth group, you're probably very disconnected to what we're doing. Not really sure. Maybe you have kids in there that you could ask what's going on. But without that, what's going on with the youth group? What are they doing? What are they talking about? So I kind of want to get into what we've been discussing basically since the start of this year. We've been going over a topic, and we're going to talk about that this morning. But I just want to say it is such a privilege to be working with our students. We got some of the best group of kids, like, ever, like, honestly. It is such a joy to meet with them each week. They're all very encouraging, very loving, and some really good kids. So it's just such an honor to be able to have this position, to be able to work with these students. But what we've been talking about over the past few months has been motivation, finding motivation. And maybe there's a lot of things that can come to your mind when we talk about motivation. Some people maybe have an easy time getting motivation. Some people probably have a hard time finding motivation. It maybe depends on what you need motivation for that can be easy or hard. Just some topics, some things that people might have that they need motivation for. Getting healthier, trying to become more healthy, eating better. Some people are like, okay, I need to do this. Some people are like, okay, I really like those cheeseburgers all the time. Losing weight. Maybe there is a relationship that's broken and you want to find motivation to try to fix that. Maybe it's a husband-wife relationship or a friend's relationship that you just, something came up and caused some issues and you find that motivation that I want to go and reconnect with them. I know a lot of times in marketing, people use FOMO, the fear of missing out, as a way to kind of get people motivated to go do things. Could be in a game, or it could be in a sale that they put on. Like, you don't want to miss this sale. It's going to be the lowest prices you've ever seen. And you're like, oh, well, I got to get in there. I have to go make sure I buy this, or I'm going to be paying way over price for everything else. Peer pressure. Maybe there's people around you who sort of are, there's this expectation of how you should behave. And you know that maybe if you don't behave this way, they might treat you differently. That could be a motivator to do things. I know there's sometimes that we look around our house at home, Rachel and myself, and we're like, wow, this place is messy. We need to clean this place up. And we just go crazy and clean a whole room or a whole house. It's pretty fun. But what are those motivators that can happen to just give you that willpower to go and do something? And what we've been talking about in youth group has been finding motivation to follow God in our daily lives. One big topic that has always been pretty key to me in trying to teach the youth has been, is Jesus worth following? That's kind of been a theme question that I think about a lot, is Jesus worth following? And I mean, we are bringing up these students and alongside the parents, and I mean, we want them to live a life where they're going and off and following Jesus. How do we do that? It can be really difficult sometimes, really challenging at times, especially when maybe there's a lot of other influences that would be pushing them away from that and demotivating them to do that. There's a story I have about a time where I found some major motivation. I'll share this probably a little later. But our key passage that we've been talking about with the youth group and finding their daily motivation to follow Jesus is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. And it says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." The big words there, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I mean, it's a commitment to doing the work of the Lord, following God and what he wants for us. And I think that encouragement at the end really is the big point that I try to drive home, is that knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. I know there's a lot of times that maybe it feels to me like, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why do I follow God? Why do I go to youth group every Wednesday? Why do I spend so much time like looking at my Bible? Why do I pray? Because maybe sometimes it doesn't feel like it's worthwhile to you. But there's that understanding of in God, like it's not in vain. It's not useless. It's not for nothing. There is a purpose. There is a reason for it. So that's been our key verse that we've been going over with our youth group, is that 1 Corinthians 15:58. So when we started off the series, we really wanted to kind of cover a couple of the important topics that would be our baseline for the rest of the series. And the first place that we started, I mean, we're wanting to follow God and follow what he wants. So we went to the book of Matthew, where we found the first and second greatest commandments when Jesus is teaching there. I figured this would be a good baseline to understand what is the number one and number two commandments that God would have. So Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. And Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And what he does is he responds, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment." So loving God is number one, with everything, with all of you. Loving God is the number one commandment. That's the number one baseline we want to have there. And then he goes on and says the second one is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So number two is loving others as you would love yourself. How you'd want yourself to be treated, that's how we would love other people. So number one, love God. Number two, love others, love man. And that's what we really want to establish as our baseline for how we are going the rest of this way with our motivation, following God, to love God first and love others second. Last week, when Isaiah was preaching, he mentioned our GROW acronym. I'm going to go a little deeper into that today, because that was another big topic we started off our series with, is going over GROW. The G in GROW stands for gather with other believers. This is an important one, I think, that can easily be overlooked, especially like myself, where I'm a super big introvert and would probably not mind being at home 24/7 or outside alone. But gathering with other believers is a very important step in our walk with God, because it's part of loving others as well in there, the second greatest. It's more than just being in a room together too. It's not just, oh, I'm physically here, check, I'm done. It's not that. It's deeper than that. When we're gathering, we're to encourage one another and build each other up. In the youth group, the way we did this is we had a bunch of little sticky notes that we had all the kids take an opportunity to write encouragements to each other on these notes. We stuck them all up on a wall. We've done this a few times. And it's really cool to see just all these multicolored sticky notes all over the walls and all these students going up and just looking through and finding their names and grabbing their sticky notes with their name on it. And then I know a lot of these students take these notes of encouragements from their peers, from the leaders, and they hold on to them and they keep them. And they still have them to this day. I still have mine that they gave me because they are huge encouragements. The words that they're saying, the things that they're putting on there saying, like, I really enjoy this. Thank you for this. I like this about you. Those things can stick with you. And they could be really encouraging to pull out and look at them and be reminded of, oh, yeah, people do appreciate what I'm doing. People do think that what I'm doing is good. People do find what my effort to be worth it. So encouraging one another is a big thing. So as we're gathering, are we encouraging and building each other up? We learn together. We learn about God's word together. We study it together. We discuss it at the end here. We've been doing something similar to what we do here on Sundays where we take notes and we discuss at the end at youth group as well. I gave all the students a notebook at the start of the year, and they've been tracking and keeping notes throughout the year, and we discuss at the end anything that stood out to them. And a lot of the students bring up some great topics of challenges they have, things that stood out to them. And that's a way that we gather together and grow together, is seeing what other people have to say. Because maybe that can encourage you. Maybe it can be a new perspective on how you haven't thought of what we talked about and challenge you in a different way. I mean, I'm just one person. Whoever's speaking up here is just one person who has their one way of thinking. But as a group, we can think about a passage of scripture in a lot of different ways and think of a lot of different ways it can apply in life. So the group is really important there. And accountability can be there too. People can ask, how was your week? People can encourage you. People can say, see how things are going, challenge you maybe. Like, that's what gathering is so important for, is us growing together to follow God together and have that encouragement of people coming alongside of you so you don't feel like you're alone in it. The R in grow stands for read your Bible and pray. I mean, this is our big connection to God. It's where we find truth in God's word. We base our following God off of what the Bible says and how God wants us to do it. Some people may base it off of other things, but that's how I want to bring up students I want to live myself, is what does God's word say to me about how I should live my life? That submissiveness to God and saying, I want to humble myself to follow what you want. And when you're praying, asking God to change maybe your perspective on something if you're off course. And instead of just being like, God, give me this, give me this, give me this, make this happen, say, God, let me have your mindset in this situation. Help me to trust you in these moments. Reading the Bible and seeing how God has come through for other people in the past. Seeing how maybe I might be out of alignment with what God wants in my following of him, and trying to correct course through reading my Bible and praying. I mean, that's the importance of that, is staying on course, staying on target through both prayer and Bible study. The O in grow is obey God. So knowledge only gets you so far. You have to actually put it into practice too. You have to live it out. You have to actually do what you're supposed to do. I mean, I could read a whole bunch of books maybe about like how to be a good husband, but if I don't actually do anything that would be acting like a good husband, am I a good husband? No. Or if I want to be a good driver, I know all the rules of the road. I mean, I know everything. But I mean, I bump cars all the time and I break the law every day. Like, I'm not a good driver at that point either. Just because I know something doesn't mean that I am good at it. So it's taking that prayer, Bible study, realigning ourselves, and then living it out in our daily lives. obedience to God, putting our knowledge into practice. And then the last letter, W in grow, is witness. Share your faith in Jesus, sharing the good news of what Jesus has done by dying on the cross for our sin and being raised to life to show his power over death and our forgiveness of sins. Being a light in the darkness. That is a very important step in continuing on and sharing truth and good news with other people. So all four of these are sort of our baseline of how we grow as followers of Jesus. Gathering with other believers, reading our Bible and praying, obeying God, and witnessing or sharing our faith. We need to have these things down if we want to do anything even beyond that. Those are our baseline that we should be constantly checking ourselves. Am I doing these? Are these something that I am practicing in my life? Because they're all important in basic following of Jesus. We then went into, at the end of April, we took our students. We had 14 students who came with us to Crescent Lake Bible Camp. And we got to have a couple, an overnight there. So 2 days, we were up at Crescent Lake. And we had a really good time. We were not able to go to the district's youth conference this past year. So we went and did this instead as kind of a replacement for it. And my goodness, that was a fun and good time. I had a great time. When I asked the students how they thought about it, I mean, everyone gave good reviews. So anybody from Crescent Lake's watching, thumbs up. Good job. It was an interesting week, too. It was really cold at that point. I mean, it was freezing cold. We had, the second day, we had scheduled a rock climbing wall, and it just was downpour raining. But our students were like, I want to climb that wall. So, like, the staff was out there freezing, and we were all out there freezing. I got soaked through so much. It was a great time, but they climbed that wall. And they had some real motivation to climb that wall, too. But our focus when we were talking about what we were talking about at that retreat was how we were going to take some time and sort of retreat from the chaos of life, the chaoticness, the depressing things that may be going on, the challenges that people may be facing. Lots of different ways that we need time to step back and pull away from maybe being on the front lines of all those things and spend some time focusing in on God. That retreat is an important thing. It's an important step to maybe, again, take some time away from everything being crazy and recentering yourself, realigning yourself, and focusing on following God again rather than having all these distractions around us. So we took this time at the end of April, retreated for a little bit, and we discussed in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, there's a poem at the start of there, which is, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I mean, it goes over, there's a time for everything. There's a time for everything. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die, there's a time to break, a time to build. I'm just giving examples of some of the things in there. There's a time to seek for something, time to give up on seeking for something. There's a time to be silent, and there's a time to speak. There's a whole bunch that are out there. It's a really cool poem that's at the start of that chapter. But what we really focused in on was, I mean, life can feel chaotic. There's seasons and times for everything in our life. And it can feel really chaotic. I mean, like that, everything can change in your life. I've seen multiple friends of mine who one phone call comes in and their whole life is different after that point. One event happens. Maybe they lose their job. Maybe they have someone in their life that they lose. And their whole life is different from that point forward. Or maybe it brings a challenging season of their life where things are going to be difficult for a year or so. I mean, I see people in my life who go through these different ups and downs constantly, and it can feel very chaotic and crazy and out of control. But at the end of this, in verse 11, the first part of verse 11, chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time." And it's talking about God and his ultimate control over existence. And yes, life can be up and down and crazy and all over the place and doesn't make sense. We may have the desire to understand what's going on, why things are happening, but I mean, we're just not big enough to understand everything. But God is big enough to take that chaos and turn it into something beautiful. To take those seasons where it seems like it's happy and take those seasons where it seems like it's horrific and awful and turn it into something beautiful. And that was our focus on the retreat, is God making beautiful things out of disasters, out of chaos, out of whatever. So those motivations we need, finding that motivation to follow God, can be challenging at times. My story that I wanted to share with you about me finding a motivation, this is a motivation about a different thing, but it was highly motivating, was there was one time I go into the dentist, and if you guys don't like teeth stories, I'm sorry, this might be a little hard for you to hear. But, I mean, I brush my teeth, half-heartedly. but I do brush my teeth, and I mean, flossing I remember every, like, once a month, and I forget to buy a mouthwash at the store, but those are all things my doctor or my dentist recommends, so credit to them. But I go in one time, and this is a couple years back now, and they're like, okay, you got a cavity. And you actually have, I think I had three cavities that day, so not good. Kids, brush your teeth. And what happened was I was going to get the fillings for that. And, I mean, as usual, I mean, I'm weird. I don't get numbing stuff. So if you guys don't like pains, yeah, I don't get numbing stuff. But when they did, they're like, okay, we got like two on your molars and one in this front tooth up here on the back side of it. And they're like, this one's probably be the easiest because it looks pretty small, and these two on the bottom, like, maybe a little worse. They filled the first one they thought would be the worst. I was fine. Made it through there. They did the second one. I was fine. No worries. They got to the third one in the front that was supposed to be the easiest one. Let me tell you, that was not easy. What happened was, I mean, there's a little hole in the back of my tooth where it started rotting. And as they were drilling up, they found that it went like this. In the backside of my tooth. Like, that's how the hole went. It got bigger. It just like ballooned up. That was one of the most painful experiences ever, as they're drilling in there. That was a big motivator to brush my teeth better from that point on. Let me tell you. My goodness. Yeah. From that day on, I have been much more intentional about brushing my teeth and trying to remember to floss, and we bought mouthwash now, and the hope is never to have to go through that again. So kids, brush your teeth. It's very important. And college kids too. If you can't afford brush your teeth, maybe you can't afford a dentist, go brush your teeth. Like, make sure you do, because you're saving yourself issues later on. But that was a motivator for me. That was a big motivator. But when we look back at our key passage here in 1 Corinthians, at the start of it, it says, Therefore, my brothers, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And an important thing that was taught to me about reading your Bible is when they say, therefore, go back and look why it's there. What's therefore there for? And right before this passage, it talks about kind of this mystery of the perishable becoming imperishable, and death being swallowed up in victory, and death having no sting, and talking about how it's the work of God that gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. It's going back to kind of this taking us from being this perishable to this eternal life that we can have with God. And it's through the work of Jesus. So that is ultimately the motivator that takes us to this, okay, I'm going to be immovable. I'm going to stand firm and not be shaken from this position. I'm going to be always abounding. I'm going to be steadfast in the work of the Lord because of that love and sacrifice that God has done for us. Because of the work of Jesus, by dying on a cross, we need to be motivated to follow him. Because that is such a huge sacrifice that I think a lot of times we can be like, oh yeah, yeah, I've heard that before, and take for granted. But the importance of that sacrifice and that love, those, the knowledge that God can take chaos and turn it into something beautiful, that is a huge motivator if you dig into it. It's like my cavity. It may look small at the surface, but when you dig in there, there's a lot there. It expands, and there's so much more. So maybe it's setting up reminders for yourself about that love so that you see it every day. Seeing that love of God every day. Maybe it's verses up on your wall. Maybe it's setting a reminder, or like a, you get one of those Bible verses that come up on your phone every morning, just like, oh, I got to spend some time in God's word and look at that. Maybe it is gathering with other people, being sure that you are intentionally gathering to grow closer to God with others around you. Having those words of encouragement that you're reminded about. Maybe it's that reminder of, okay, I want to share my faith with this person so you understand it more. There's a lot of ways that we can be reminded of God's love for us that can be a big motivator for us to then follow God in return. And it's probably different for all of us. I mean, everybody has different ones. I know a big one for me was, I mean, getting married to Rachel, and it's kind of seeing how love works in a marriage and just kind of that sacrificialness that needs to be there, and that trying to love someone deeply and know who they are as a person. And like, that took my understanding of God's love up a level, because that was huge there. So there could be a whole bunch of things that maybe will give you motivation. And I think that you need to find that personally for yourself, what it is for you that will motivate you to follow God. And then make that a priority in your life to have that present. Because there are a lot of things in life that will be ways that we can be demotivated. There's a lot of ways that we can get stressed out, have troubles come, in situations that will be difficult, and all of a sudden we're not gathering with other people, we're not reading our Bible or praying, we're not obeying God, we're not sharing our faith, witnessing. We're not having loving God as our top priority. We're not having loving others as the second priority. And we're suddenly nowhere near that. Kind of that goal that we have is following God first, loving him first, loving others, and then growing. So I challenge you to find what motivates you. Maybe it is getting your Bible. Maybe it's listening to other people speak. Maybe it's worship music. Maybe it's having little notes all over your house to remind you of certain things. Maybe it's you actively loving others that will help you experience love deeper. Maybe it's you practicing that. Whatever it is for you, don't let that slack. keep that as something that is a priority, because we want to keep following God every day and have that motivation to keep following God. Because that's ultimately the greatest good that we can have in our life, is going towards God. If you guys want to have motivation to, maybe come talk to me. I can encourage you. I don't know. I'm offering that up. I'm not a person who's a people person, but I'll offer it up because I want that something in your life. If you want encouragement, I mean, come talk to me and I'll try to encourage you. But that's what I want to encourage our youth towards. I hope that all of you would come alongside to and encourage our youth as well, because those steps are important going forward to living a full life of following God. But I understand too that a lot of adults are in that position too, where it's like, okay, I lost motivation, I'll admit it. And I need that too. I need that challenge to be reminded. I need to be motivated. I need to be reminded of God's love every day to help find that motivation. So pray that that is what you have in your life as well. That's all I got for you guys. So go in peace.